Thank the Lord for being here in this meeting. It's been a real blessing to me. I thank the Lord for the people of God. There's no one like them. All right. It is. Let's see, do I need to wear this out? It's okay. I was thinking about my beginning. And it had to start back with my mother. And I don't know what time of day that it happened, but my mother was sick. She had rheumatic fever. And my mom and dad were living in a little house in a basement. And Brother David Madden, Brother Charlie Smith, and Brother Ori, I believe, had gone over to this house to pray for this man that lived in the upper part of the house. And this was in a neighborhood, it's kind of where we started off, and it was across the street from this church that my mom ended up going to. But as these three brethren they went to this house and prayed for this man that was very sick. He said, "There is a woman in the basement of this of the place here, and she's very sick." And they went and prayed for her, and that was my mom. And that's kind of how I had a start. My burden this morning is big hearts. And I would like to encourage each and every one, whatever you're doing, to keep it up. Keep up doing what you're doing to the glory of God. I think of how vital it is that we have a big heart, that we keep doing what God wants us to do. Because our children are depending on that. If you think about it for a moment and you think, who is going to be around, who is going to be a companion for my daughter or my son? Who will be there to be a companion for them? You see, when our hearts become small, we tend to lose a vision, and we may run for a few years on the, like the flywheel effect. It's that the momentum that has been built up over the years through faithful people, and then we come along and we seem to coast for a while. And we can live a while off of that flywheel effect, and there can be children and there can be young people, and internally we can survive for a while, but we need a big heart. I don't know what Brother David and Brother Charlie and Brother Ori, I never did meet Brother David Madden. I don't know what they could have been doing that day, but they felt like it was important to be there at that place. And I want you to know this morning, I believe I'm here today because of a big heart.
Yes.
And I do believe that the future, our future is determined on how big our heart is.
Yes.
And I do believe God wants to help us. I have several things on my little plate this morning, and it's just going to be the Lord's help that I be able to get them out. I run across a poem by Richard Harrison, and it says, "The times demand big men, not men who are big shots, but men who are big in heart and mind, great men, large-souled men." That's what I'd like to talk to you about this morning, about large-souled, big-hearted men and women.
Amen.
I believe it's important to us today to realize that, well, in the book of Isaiah, the 54th chapter, if you have your Bibles and you'd like to read with me, I love this scripture. The Lord just set this on fire to me the other night when I was in the jail. I I went in there and I just wasn't feeling too good, and I was tired. And you know, I said to those men, I am so glad to be able to come to jail. I just get feeling so good when I come in here. And you know the expression on their faces, they always tend to say, well, it doesn't make me feel good, but the Lord blessed this scripture to my heart. The 54th chapter of Isaiah, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord.
Yes.
I don't want you to be discouraged because it looks like the unmarried has more children than the married. It looks like that we're just being overrun by illegitimacy, and it just looked like the church is having a struggle. But he said here, the second verse, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited.
Yes.
Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. Well, this morning, big hearts have to be willing to stretch their boundaries, have to be willing to do just a little bit more.
Yeah.
We have to realize in our heart, I am not going to be controlled by other people's sins. I am not going to let the mistakes of the past control me. I am not going to let my heart become shriveled because my parents pick up some grievances, and because my parents have gone away and they've chosen another direction. I'm not going to let my heart shrivel and get to the place that I let bitterness come into my life and it caused me to lose my soul. I'm not going to do it because I have a desire to have a big heart.
Yeah.
I desire to keep going on. I'm not going to let the sins of the community and people around me cause me to stop building.
Amen.
Noah had no idea what composites were, no idea about fiberglass and resin, but he had some gopher wood, and he had some pitch, he had some old tar, and he began to put together a masterpiece of a vessel that would carry people and animals and food up from the waters, and it would survive.
Right.
And it would make it. He had no idea of all the engineering that it would take. How do you bring fresh air into an ark like that? And how do you cause that ark to not buckle when the weight of it? How do you displace all the weight in there and cause that thing as it's coming up to not snap in half? It was a divine creator inspiring a man that had a heart to believe in him.
Yeah.
And he believed in him. They say there was ways that there was fresh air that was pumped into that boat as it came up and down. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't know all the design, but I know this. It came up and it came down.
Yeah.
Two things it had to do. It had to hold all those animals. It had to lift off and it had to come down. You ever been in a plane and take off and everybody, you know, body claps? If you're over in Russia and different places, they don't, you know, taking off is not the big deal. It's when you land, they all start clapping. I don't know if Noah and his sons and family clapped when that thing finally set down, but can you imagine that thing sitting on top of a ridge and it's snapping in half right as they got toward the end of their journey? No, the Lord designed that to come down. He made a place for it.
Yes.
I want you to know, whenever you have a big heart and you do your part, God's going to do His. He's going to take care of you. He's going to see that you make it through. He said here, lengthen, enlarge, make bigger. Don't just be satisfied with living in a hovel and living in a little something that's so small and it's just accommodating for you, but have something in mind of a bigger picture, something more. I've been buffeted by Satan many, many times. See there, it didn't work. See there, that didn't work. I've tried experiments. I hooked a water heater up on my wood stove and had all these copper pipes banded to that thing. And I've had people come back, and my wife, she's been very patient with me. You know, it didn't work. Well, it did some. It did somewhat. I've changed an 8-cylinder engine, made it run on 4 cylinders, and come back and hung my head. You know, it didn't work. The thing, it didn't work very good. I've made some other experiments in life, and I've tried things, and it didn't work. And it can be that way when you try to do things for God. You understand what I'm saying? You might get weary. The scripture says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. You've got to keep trying. You've got to keep, we have to, each and every one of us. Don't be discouraged. I look out sometimes and I've come in the congregation and there was one person for Sunday school. And I come in, I was inspired. Y'all, I hope there's seats enough for everybody. I hope y'all find a place to sit. I'm so glad to see all of you this morning. Oh, it's just wonderful. I hope we can get everyone in here. You see, if you get down over it and you look at the visible things, your heart starts to shrink. Say, I really haven't done much good. And people don't listen to you anyway. They don't listen to you anyway. And they're over there catching themselves and look like they're nodding off and things. But you know what? Brother Madden said one time, you let all those people, in other words, you let all those sleepy people come to church. Sometimes that's the only rest those people ever get, is in church. Brother Louis Marler told me one time, he said, Brother James, now I don't want to discourage you. He said, but you know, I couldn't sleep the other night, and I put a tape of you preaching. And he said, it just went right to sleep. It can be discouraging sometimes. You can think, well, man, what good am I doing around here? I'm a no-doze. I've caused people to go to sleep. And your heart can be, you can let it. You can let it affect you to the point, and you say, what good am I doing?
Yes.
You know, I think about Noah. He had to have some money to build that ark, didn't he? He hauled in lumber from somewhere. He hauled in materials. He had to hire laborers. There had to be things done.
That's right.
A big heart, folks. A big heart. That's what. Keep working. Keep doing. Thank God for everyone here today. I'm going to tell you something. If there was any success in my life, it's not because of me. It's because of people that's helped me.
Right.
I wouldn't be here. Nothing could be done. Really, if it hadn't been a joint effort, and I thank God for people with big hearts. There's been a lot of things I can say to you that I've tried and they haven't been very profitable. But may the Lord help us to never stop trying.
Amen.
Never stop trying. I've read again that scripture in Ecclesiastes. He said, in the morning sow your seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand. The morning when you're young, when everything's going well for you, in the morning time of your life, sow your seed, but don't stop in the evening time. And just above that scripture, I'll just have to read it. I quoted some of it the other day, but it's just such a blessing to me that I want to share it with you. In the 11th chapter, in the first verse here of Ecclesiastes, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. I've always thought 7 was a complete number. And it is. But he said, here, give a portion to 7 and also to 8. Have a little bit more to do than just the normal.
Right.
May the Lord bless us today. The book of Matthew 5 and 46. I didn't finish with this verse, but that's the point that I got out of it. Forgive me for not reading all of it. Matthew 5 and 46. I want you to read with me here. Let me start in the 42nd verse. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. That's a hard scripture to work on. Oh, Lord, help us. Give to him that asketh of thee. And he said, ye have heard that hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I see so much contained in these scriptures, and our Lord was telling us, I don't want you to be just like other people. I don't want you to be, you know, you're going to be friendly to those that are friendly to you. I want you to be friendly to the unfriendly. Yes. I want you to be a help to those that do not ask for your help. I want to tell you, I really believe in my life, I need some crusty people around. And the Lord has sent me plenty. Oh my. Some of the things that I've been through, I don't know. My wife is not here to stop me from telling some of my stories, but I do have some stories to tell. And I'm thankful for it. And I believe every one of us ought to have some stories. You need some old crusty friends. You really do. You need somebody that's real difficult to get along with. I'm thinking about the first place my wife and I moved to. Sister Kay and Mike, they used to live there, and it was a little, they'd had a tack room, and they had chickens and whatever in there at one time, but they fixed it up as a little house. That's where we moved. The landlord was the same one that others had, so we moved in, and this man was one of those crusty ones, I guess you'd say. And there was an old outbuilding that full of copperhead snakes, and I had some stuff stored. I had more stuff stored in there than I should have. Let's put it that way. I don't want to make this man look too crusty. I'm going to put some of the blame on me. He went in that building one day to get some stuff out of there. And I'm telling you, he got so mad. I had no idea. He never did go down there, but he did that day. And that man railed on me. I'm telling you, it was a good one. If you can call those kind of things good. This was one of those times that he really expressed all that was on his heart. Let's just put it that way. And I felt I was apologizing for having my junk in there and everything. And he walked off. He was steaming mad. And so the Lord spoke to me right there. You need to be kind to him. This is where our heart starts getting challenged. You know what our natural man says? I'm going to get back at that guy. He shouldn't have done that to me. But our heart, if we have a heart to serve God, the bigness of our heart, here's where it starts. It's going to take some prayer now, because here's this man towering over you and he's just really letting you have it. I went and knocked on his door. My wife said, let's invite him over to eat with us. We live just right across the way. So I knocked on his door. He came to the door. You just have to know his demeanor and what kind of... He's a type. He said, I want to give you this coconut cream pie. I thought, well, how nice. He said, it made me sick, and I just thought I would give it to you. I'm telling you all the truth. He was that type of a man. I went and knocked on his door, and here he came to the door. And I said, Mr. Whiteford, we'd like to have you over to eat with us. And he looked at me, and he said, the way I talk to you, I never thought you would say anything to me again. And I had a love in my heart for him. I didn't want him to, I didn't want that to penetrate my heart. You see, when you have a big heart, and I'm not saying that I have a big, I'm telling you, if it hadn't been for the Lord, I'd be shriveled up mess. It's only been God. I can tell you that. I come from a family that is very hard. They're difficult to deal with. There's some hard things, but I can... Job said, the Lord's made my heart soft.
Yes.
So I just want to tell you, big hearts are soft hearts.
Yes.
God has to work with us. And I have to tell you the rest of the story. I was asked Courtney over to the house. My wife was cooking up Mexican food, which he loved. We got right to the door, and my wife come running out of the house, and she had burnt the tortillas, and she didn't know he was out there, and she comes running out with this smoking pan of tortillas and come through and throw them over the fence. And he looked down at me and he said, you know, if I don't like some things, I just don't eat them. And I thought, of all the times to have a burnt tortilla, it was not that time. That was not a good time. But you know, he came inside. And the good thing is, we had a good time. We had a good time. The devil's going to throw some blocks up in your way. He's going to try to make your heart hard and small. He wants to keep it hard and small. That's his design, is to diminish you, to pour some kind of a spirit on you, to put something out in your way, a stumbling block, and keep you dwarfed all of your life.
Yes.
He'd love that. He'd love for you to hold some kind of grudge. He'd love for you to get caught up in something and just become paralyzed and set back and waste away. But I believe our Lord here, he said, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to do good to them that hate you. And I want you to bless them that curse you. There's a lot of curses in the world. And you can curse back and double it. Or you can bless someone and neutralize it.
Yes.
You can bless someone and neutralize that curse. Folks, I believe today the Lord wants to give us some big hearts. I believe he wants us to be in the kingdom of God, have some large-souled men and women. And people who are not just offended and set back, and I didn't have my way.
Yes, amen.
God wants to help us today. The book of Philippians, I was reading these scriptures coming to my mind and just flooding my heart. I thank the Lord for them today. The Word of God, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is what we need. Let's keep it alive in our life.
Amen.
Paul could have sat back and said, oh my, them old licks is pretty rough. I'm getting older to get thrashed 39 times, but... He kept going on, and he was concerned about the people. And he said, brethren, I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel.
Yes, they always do.
That's what's happened in all these things that Satan has thrown at us and tried to divide us and tried to separate us and try to scare people off. Do you know he'll afflict somebody, and if you're not careful, you'll get so scared, you'll say, I never could do that. And you'll just shrink back, and your heart will get small.
Right.
And you have no idea the person that's going through there, there's a supply of grace that God is just giving them, and he's blessing them in such a way, he's saying, don't be afraid. Paul said, "Don't, brethren, listen, please calm down a little bit here. Get a hold of yourself. The things that's happened to me has been a falling out to the furtherance of the gospel. It's not a diminishing, but it's keeping the gospel to go on. You squash one of the people of God, you make them, you stamp them out, and there's five more of them pop up. There's a whole group of them come up, and you think, where'd they come? It's people, the grace of God, they've seen, they've understood the Lord's blessings and the Lord's direction, the Lord's great working power in their life. It's caused people to rise up.
Yeah.
It's caused people, instead of going the other way, if we let this work for our good, it can be the furtherance of the gospel. It doesn't have to be a diminishing.
Amen.
It can be an increase. You know, if we would look at things on one side, there's some bitter things that happen. There are things that are difficult. It's hard to understand sometimes, but Paul had the right attitude. I believe we need to ask the Lord, help us, Lord, to keep the right attitude in all these things. Brother Ed spoke last night to us about the talents. And I believe this morning, back in Matthew 25 and 21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter in thou into the joy of thy Lord." I think how wonderful it is when we have a big heart. Big hearts have lots of responsibilities, but there's joys that's multiplied. There's blessings come.
Amen.
When we're ruler over many things. This morning, if we're struggling and we're barely going, I want us to look and see just how many things we are actually letting God work in our life with. We're involved in it. You know, if you put out little, you'll not get back much little. Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." How was that? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with what measure ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. We need to stop and look and say, "Lord, help me. How big is my life? How many things do I, what do I have going here? Have I struck out? Have I become discouraged? And I just went up like, was it the Hezekiah just smote with those arrows just about three times? Just kind of a half-hearted, just a little half-hearted. It wasn't much. No enthusiasm at all. God wants to help us to keep going on.
Amen.
He wants to help you. Not to give up. Not to think that I'm over with and I can't. But to be able to give.
Yes.
To be able to share your heart. It'll pay big dividends, folks. It'll pay. I was carrying a bag one time, my books and all, and I was walking in the door of the jail, and I did not feel impressed at all to deal with these calloused knotheads, I will call them. I didn't feel impressed at all. I said, "Lord, I've had enough of these folks." I mean, I go in there and they steal, they just take stuff. You can't turn your back. You know, that it's like they'll take your pencils. I told them one day, you know, "Wouldn't it be awful to face the judgment and the Lord show you the pencil you stole off of that poor fellow there in the jail?" All these guys start pulling them out and say, "Man, I don't want that pencil." If they don't get your pencil, they'll get your books. And it costs like $10, $15 a piece. And I'm thinking, they gave your pencil back and they stole the books. Let them have the pencils. You know, I started getting all kinds of pencils. Just take all the pencils you want. Leave my books, please. Stole the pencil sharpener. Electric pencil sharpener. Made deals of tattoos. I was going into jail. I was thinking, this, you know, about 8 years of this and I'm getting tired of it. And the Lord brought the scripture to me. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." I want to encourage you today, whatever drudgery you have in your life, and whatever is making you feel down, even going to work, and just doing the everyday things of life, you know, there can be a blessing in that. Ask God to help you enlarge your heart, enlarge the place of your dwelling, to make you a blessing. Bring some tomatoes to work. You say, I don't have a garden. Grow one and bring them, fellas, some tomatoes. Bring them some hot peppers. Do something. I'm not going to have other stories. I'm not going to share everything, but I'm going to tell you, bring them something. Give them something. And change your environment. You change the environment. You do it. You're the light of the world. You go in there. You got a big heart now. And the Lord's wanting to expand it. Now, you be the difference to them. And you show those crusty people, some love. It makes such a difference. Oh, this one man, I got to be very careful because I don't want to say names, but he's been a very difficult deputy to work with. Take God's name in vain, has no, his language, and has no concern about preachers and God and nothing at all. And somehow, some way, I've got attached to that man. I don't know how, because I've got more than one, but this one in particular. He calls me up. Well, he wanted to go hunting at our place, and I said, sure, and he wanted to bring his grandson. Sure, come over. My wife, here she is again. She's always looking for opportunities. She fixed him up some food to eat, made him something good. He was just overwhelmed. He couldn't believe it. Now, I want to tell you, he's a type person, part of his job. They'll fly him in a helicopter on the outside of it with a gun and drop him off in a remote place, and he's the bad boy. He does things that a lot of people wouldn't want to do. They put him in those situations. He's that type of person, but he's got a soul. While I was here in the meeting, I got a call from him, and I got a ticket, a big ticket from the Department of Transportation, a big one. Now this one, I still got to go to court over it. You might say, closed my Bible, got no confidence in you at all today. I'm just telling you, this is me. I'm not trying to hide anything from you, but I want to tell you something. That man said, I need the number of your ticket. And I gave it to him. And if they're not pulling my leg, which I'm thinking he's done this, he said, all you're going to have to pay, it's all off your record, you're just going to have to pay the court cost. So you might want to get you some crusty person in your life too. You ever think you might get in trouble? You ever think you might? I'm telling you, folks, and I don't know how to tell you. I'd like to, all I know is just a little bit. Enlarge the place of your dwelling.
Yes, amen.
Turn those. Sister Noreen Harmon, I said it over. She's such a special person to me. She would hang out clothes, and as she's hanging out her clothes, she whistled. Hanging out her clothes. Whistling. And her neighbor caught it. The neighbor heard Sister Noreen whistling as she hung out her clothes on the clothesline. Oh, I'm forgetting. You all know what that clothesline is? These wires that I'm thinking. I'm getting so old. People don't even know what a clothesline is. But used to have them, and you hang your clothes up on these wires, and the wind blows and dries them free. It's all free. It's real energy saving. That's what a clothesline is. Most people don't even know. Younger generation don't know, but Sister Noreen knew, and she hung her clothes on that clothesline, and she whistled. She whistled. Didn't know nobody was listening, but her next door neighbor, one day when she was about to move, she said, you know, I've gotten so much good out of you whistling, and I would hear you out there hanging at your clothes. She's got big heart. I want to tell you, you're thinking, big heart, man, I've got to go in jails. I've got to go do all these. No, how about get your basket and start whistling? We're talking about being a blessing in the kingdom of God. We're talking about having a big heart. We're talking about not letting things that are they're poison in families and little things get started and rumors and all these evil things get started and letting affect us and cause our heart to become so small and diminished. I don't really want to go to church anymore. You know what? Let's have a big heart, folks. Let's look further and see what God wants to do with us with a big heart. When I look and see these pictures of the work in foreign lands and these little children gathered around, people are holding them and cuddling them and they're working with those children, big heart pops in my mind.
Yes.
These folks had a big heart. They saw something in those little children. They saw something. They gave their life and risked everything they had just to help in the kingdom of God. Psalm 66. This is not about me. This is about the work of God, the continuing on to see this chapel in this beautiful setting, to see it keep going on, to see our young people keep thriving. It's to see have the vision to see people still coming. Let me tell you, if our heart gets small and we get discouraged and say, oh, it's just the times we live in, there's hardly anybody interested. I want you to remember my mom.
Yes.
Think about her. She's just a sick lady with rheumatic fever. And she's not even involved in church. She has no way to put no offering in the plate. She has no way to contribute anything. She's just a sick woman. And somebody laid some hands on her. Three brethren laid some hands on her and prayed for her. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
How? You might think one James Bell is enough. We don't want any more. But how many more people are there out there that they just need somebody to have a big heart?
Yes.
Think about them. That really stirs me. 66 and 12 says this: Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I want to share something with you. And Brother Ed, Sister Bert, I don't want to bear with me because this has a good ending. Brother Ed and I just took care of a large funeral. It was for Richard Madden, whom I love dearly. There was a little mix-up. He had told me, Richard had told me before he died, I said, I want you and Brother Ed take care of my funeral. His wife had texted Ed and said he's going to take care of the eulogy. And right before the service, so I was thinking, now this thought came to my mind, I wonder why he's going to preach it. And I'm not. And Brother Ed called me and said, hey, I didn't know nothing about this. What's going on? So he don't know it. He don't even know it today, what I'm going to say. He's going to wonder what he's going to say. But I'm going to tell you what God will do for us. Right as we're eating dinner and we're going to have the funeral, she tells me, gives me, they hand me these letters they want Ed to read. And I said, I think you've got it wrong. Ed's going to do the eulogy. He's going to do the message. She said, oh, no, no. The Lord had already talked to me. That's the way he wanted it done. That's the way he wanted it done. Brother Ed's in the middle, and he's probably thinking here today, see, I hadn't told him all this. I'm kind of springing this on him. But I'm going to tell you something. Here's my thought. The Lord spoke to me. The thought came to me, I'm just going to read the obituary and he's going to do the... You know what? It'd make you feel so good. You know? The Lord let me know, you be bigger than that. Be bigger than that. I want to tell you all something. As we're here, the Lord blessed in that funeral in such a wonderful way. It was the Lord's doings. There was part I could have said, okay, I'll call him and tell him I'll take care of it. The Lord spoke to me, you be bigger than that. This is how I want it. And I want to tell you folks today, it was a wonderful service. The Lord bless Brother Ed. And I love you, brother. God wanted it that way. I didn't bring her card, but she said she was so thankful how God worked in that, in the going away, the funeral service. Folks, what am I saying to you today? It doesn't matter what part I play. I'm a servant. I don't have no... You see what I read to you? Not big shots, but men who are big in heart and mind, great men, large-souled men. God wants us to be bigger than our petty, our little petty pride and things we have. Why didn't they recognize me? No. Big-hearted people, I believe, give the glory to God. My dear brother, it's beautiful. When I look at it, I think, oh, Lord, your ways are beautiful. You have such a wonderful way of doing things. I don't want to get in your way. Amen. But if we get to thinking, I wonder why they didn't let me do that. I wonder why they didn't choose me. I wonder why. Do you know what? Those questions will cause us to diminish.
Yes.
It'll cause us to become little people.
Yes, amen.
Brother Kimball one time had a couple of sisters that was saying, my beans are the best. And it was some kind of food. I'm going to say it was beans. Let's just say it. And these two sisters was kind of rivaling. No, mine's the best. He took and he poured both of them into one pot. And he stirred them up. Yeah, now tell me which one's the best. You know, God does some of that same thing with us. If he can get a hold of our hearts, he wants us to recognize, this work is mine. This is what I want to do. I want you to stay out of the way. I don't care if you ever get recognized. I don't care. You just be where I want you to be. You're just as important if you're a rivet on a timing chain as you are a piston in the engine.
Yes, yes.
If I'm a rivet, that's all I want to be, is a rivet.
Right.
Lord, help me to stay in place. Because if I pop out, I'm going to throw that whole engine out of timing.
Yes.
Folks, we sing this song this morning. As sweet strains of heavenly music, one in Christ, blend in one accord. There is something beautiful about the church of God. And it is because people have big hearts and they recognize how precious it is. The work of the Lord must go on.
Yes.
Whether I go with it or not, or whether I'm a rivet. It doesn't matter. If we're willing to get that humble, and when we're working in life, if we're willing to get to that place, I just want to be a rivet. If I can just stay in my place and be that rivet, I can do. And God will bless me. I'll stay a rivet the rest of my life. I don't care. We're concerned because we want to see the Lord glorified. We want to see God's work progress.
Yes.
1 Thessalonians 3 and 12. I'll try to be through in just a moment here. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12. Would someone read that for me? John 10 and 10. Would someone get that also for me? Folks, did you have your Bibles open? Why is it taking?
1 Thessalonians 3:12. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you.
Yes, thank the Lord. He make you to increase. Make you to increase. Make you, to enlarge your place of your dwelling. Yes. Make you to be able to bear and forbear. Make you to be wise. Make you to be able to see how you are just a small part, and God is the designer, and He is working, and He's doing things. He wants us to increase.
Amen.
He wants us to have a bigger heart. He wants us to work toward the goal. He wants us to stay together. I believe that He wants to increase us more and more. Enlarge the place of your dwelling. Stretch forth your stakes. That means, what in the world are you doing? Well, Mama, I'm out here lengthening the cords. We're making this place bigger. That's enough to dust. I don't want it. No, we're making our home bigger. You don't understand. We're going to make this bigger. We're going to do more than we've ever done before. Yes, it's more work and it takes more on our part, but it gets us out of the lethargy. It gets us out of the feeling of I can't do nothing. God help us today. He wants to increase you more and more. John 10:10, please. Would you read that for me?
The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Thank the Lord. They might have more abundant life, a bigger heart, a bigger capacity, more volume, be able to do more. You know, sometimes the Lord takes some of the weakest instruments. He takes some of the weakest and He does things wonderful with it. I have watched the Lord do that just different times. He just wants to get the glory.
Yes.
Give Him the glory. A more abundant life. I was thinking, another little story. I helped get a young man out of that had drowned, a 15-year-old boy, out of an icy pond. Couple of days of bitter cold weather, lots of reverses, very difficult. It was hard to do. And I stayed there with them until the job was done. A few days later, they said, well, there's a, want you to be with the rest of this team, and we have a little award to give you. And I said, well, I've got to work and just give mine to that chaplain, the one that's paid. Just let him pick it up. I'm really not needing any more things to, the master's approval is the servant's best wages. But anyway, I have this little white pen. It looks like something you get at the dime store, or is it? It's not very. But this one man said, I've been trying to get one of those for a long time. And here you get one in just a few. Oh, I thought, well, if you need it, you can have mine. I don't even have a shirt to wear it on. People are so trained. In our mind, we want the medals. We want the rewards in this life. I want to be able to have a trophy shelf and it's glassed in and I keep all of my awards up there. Mine would be very small. But I'm working on one that's eternal. I want to have one. The Lord just tells me one thing, well done. That's the one I want. And then if I can see just one of those crusty old men, crusty people, it's been difficult. If I can see them in heaven, that's the ones I'm going to rejoice for eternity.
Amen.
Eternity, that's what we work for. It's eternity, folks, I'm concerned about. 17:9 of Job, one last verse. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Very important for us, having clean hands. Very important for us that we recognize I don't want to touch the glory. Very important for us to have a big heart. We got to have clean hands.
Yes.
We're in a world that's so unclean. And there's so many things. Please don't go thinking that, okay, I'm going to go start hanging around with a bunch of drunks. And that's what he was talking about. And these drunks, I'm really going to... No, I'm not telling you that. You better be directed by the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, if you keep clean hands, it's no telling what God can do for you in your life. Jesus was a friend to unfriendly people.
Yes, he was.
He was kind. He went to people's homes. He went to different places. People said, why are you letting that woman, if you was really a prophet of God, you would not let that woman touch you. You wouldn't let her get near you if you really knew who she was. He said, you know, I've come in here and this woman has washed my feet with tears. She's dried them with the hairs of her head. This will be a memorial for her. She's given some of the most costly ointment and poured it on me to anoint me.
Yes.
Oh my. What a heart. What a heart. I trust the Lord will help us today. We'll change some of our ways if we need to. We'll ask God to help us from this day on. Lord, I want to have a big heart. Lord, I want to keep a big heart. I'd rather say that among the people of God, a big-hearted people, let's keep our big heart.
Amen.
And if we're challenged, well, let's pull the stakes up and move out just a little more. And do just a little more for the Lord. What's that song that we have in our book that says, let us go a little farther? Could we sing that song today? Could we go just a little farther, farther than we've gone before? Are we workers now for Jesus? Let us do a little more. Pray for me. I do want to have a bigger heart for God.
Amen.